Hi, so in the previous lecture, there was quite a long-winded article, but if you read it, and I hope that you did, you may have, or may not, have found it useful and quite beneficial, hopefully quite insightful, as we're talking about locus of control, the things in life that you can control, and the things in life that you have no control over whatsoever. So, to hopefully really wrap this up and illustrate this point, I wanted to share with you a story. A story going back around about 8 years. It would have been 2006 when I was living in Australia. I was living in Perth and I lived there for around about 18 months. Now, over a period of between 3 to 4 weeks, I went on a road trip. I went on a road trip where I drove right up the west coast of Australia from Perth northwards. And after about 2 weeks, I came across this place called Coral Bay. Now this little bay was beautiful. There was white, you know, shell beaches, you know, clear blue oceans, fresh seafood, fish. Absolutely phenomenal. Now, there was a bunch of guys that were kind of picked up on the way, backpackers and absolute randoms. And across that side of the world, you wouldn't really think twice about just picking someone up and taking them with you. People would come into your life and people would go. So it wasn't like this. The guys I'm about to tell you the story about, I even knew to any great depth. But there was four of us. We'd found ourselves on an evening around the bonfire, a few beers, chilling out, all that kind of thing, and we'd actually had one or two too many beers, if you like. Now, the following morning when we woke up, we actually got woken up by one of the guys who was actually a Maori. Now, a Maori from a South Pacific Islander, from generally the north of the New Zealand Islands, came into the room and he woke us all up. And he says, guys, I've managed to get my hands on a glass-bottomed boat. Now, you know, I was speaking to one of the fishermen who said that this time of year, there's actually some giant sea turtles who have just had young. If we were to take this boat, I kind of know the right direction we want to go in. We could go right out to sea. We could take our snorkels, our fins, our flippers, all that sort of thing, and we could go out and see them. There's not actually that many tourists that would even get the opportunity to do or to see this. So we could be on to a real winner here, guys. So we pulled ourselves out of bed and we ended up, you know, packing up all our kit, our snorkels, our fins, our flippers, our wetsuits, a whole lot of water. We were quite dehydrated from the night before. We got into the boat and we went out to sea. Now, over there, it's actually illegal for you to drop anchors or to damage the coral. So we'd got just beyond the edge of the coral before we put the anchors down. And after we put the anchors down, we all kind of exited the boat and we started swimming out to where we could actually see the giant sea turtles, maybe around about 100, 120 metres just ahead of us. Now, going back then, this was before the era of digital cameras. Well, I think they were about, but I didn't have one. I just had a real cheap, tacky, disposable camera at the time. So I'd kind of fallen a little bit behind the rest of the group as we were swimming out to see these giant sea turtles. I was taking photographs of the little Nemo fish and the dories and all that sort of thing. And I'd kind of looked up and I'd noticed that there were maybe, you know, 10 to 15 metres ahead of me. And as I looked back down, I just saw this dark, shadowy mass swim right underneath me. Doom, doom. Doom, doom. You can kind of guess what it was. Well, I actually knew my sharks back then. I also knew what it was. It was a bull shark. Now, bull sharks, for those of you that know, have a reputation for being somewhat vicious. They will rip their prey apart, even if they're not hungry. So my heart sank. It was pounding. Now, I guess I had this option. I could have turned and just gone back to the boat. I mean, I barely knew these guys anyway. Or I'd swim out and tell them. Really, just like that, there wasn't an option. I'd swam out, you know, went down, I was swimming out, and I managed to grab one of the guys by the ankle, where I called on them all to stop. So it took a couple of minutes for us all to get together, and one of the Aussie guys who'd come across from the east coast of Australia. I said, okay, so what's up? And I said, look, I was just swimming back there and I had my underwater camera and I was just taking some photographs and I saw a shark. And the Aussie guy goes, okay, so what kind of shark was it? To which I replied, well, it was definitely a bull shark. And he said, okay, well, how many was there? And I said, there was just the one that I could see. To which he replied, And here we were, four of us, just bobbing up and down in the middle of the ocean. Now, none of us really knew what to do. I mean, I hadn't found myself in a situation like this before. Now, I could have said that I was filled with fear and angst, but I guess the reason I'm telling you the story is that for some reason, I was completely calm. Yes, my heart had sank, and I knew that we were in a bit of a crisis here, or potentially a bit of a crisis, but I wasn't worried. I wasn't even scared. I didn't feel scared in the slightest. Until the Aussie guy just disappeared underneath the water. Now, he hadn't told us he was going under. We were kind of looking for blood or something, but no blood arose. About 20 seconds later, he came back up and he just whipped off his snorkel mask and said, guys, look down. To which we put our heads underneath the water and we could see that we were actually getting circled by this bull shark. Quite a big one as well, may I just add. Now, yes, if you've ever been deep sea swimming before, you will understand and you'll fully know that the snorkel goggles will magnify everything. So I could say, yeah, this bull shark was 5 meters long, but it probably wasn't. It was probably only around about 2.5, if that. But it was big enough, and I hadn't ever been in this sort of situation before. So as we look back up, so okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know, one of the other guys began to panic just a little bit. I guess what we weren't in any control of was what happened to us that day. You know, we were in complete control of how we chose to respond in that situation, but we weren't in any control over whether we lived or died. So, the German guy that was with us, in his dodgy English accent, says, oh, well, I guess we've got a couple of options. And we were just focused completely on him, wanting to hear what these options were, because I was completely out of ideas. He says, okay, well option one could be that we swim back to the boat. But, he said, we might get, you know, picked off by the shark on the way back to the boat. Or option two, he said, we could swim out to see the giant sea turtles, as originally planned, but we might get picked off by the shark on the way out to see the giant sea turtles and their babies. Well, those first two options weren't really ringing any bells or didn't really seem too overly appealing. Until he said, option three. We swim out, see the giant sea turtles and they're young, we can get some photographs, then we can swim back to the boat. But we might get picked off by the shark on the way back to the boat. My heart rate at this point was beginning to increase. Until he said, option four. We could swim out, see the giant sea turtles, actually see them and their young. Then we could swim back to the boat. We can all get in the boat, go back to the beach, and then we could go to the clubhouse for a beer. Well, I don't know if you'd call this deep sea logic or whatever you'd call it, but this was actually the only option that didn't involve us getting eaten by sharks. So this was the one that we went for. But I guess, you see, we were actually all in the middle of the ocean anyway, and we hadn't been picked off yet up until this point. So we were actually only about 50 metres away from where the giant sea turtles were. It wasn't really that far. Although it looks quite far out at sea, it wasn't that far. So we all agreed. Before we kind of swam off, the Aussie guy, who was, you know, a regular churchgoer, he said, well, you know, guys, I think this would be a pretty good time to pray. So we just agreed, absolutely, well, look, we don't know how to pray, so you just say something, just do this. And we were just kind of close our eyes, waiting for him to say something. So he came out with this random prayer. He says, dear God, I just pray that that you give that big bloody shark some fish to eat or something else, just so that he leaves us the hell alone and we can get back to the boat and we can go to the clubhouse for a beer later on today. Amen. And at that, we opened our eyes and were absolutely in 100% agreement. I guess that was all we had. As I've mentioned, we were not in any control over whether we lived or died that day, whether we got eaten by the shark, whether we didn't, whether we got picked off one by one, whether some more sharks came along. We were completely helpless and completely open to the elements that day. There was nothing that we could do to control the outcomes. So off we went. We swam out. Don't get me wrong here, none of us really said much of a word to each other, but we all got out there and we saw these giant sea turtles and we saw their young. What a phenomenal experience. We all kind of nodded at each other at this point and then we all swam back to the boat. Now, one of the guys, I think it was the Aussie guy, got in first and then the Kiwi guy got in next. I got in the boat third and then we turned around to look for the German guy who just arrived. So we pulled him in the boat and we turned on the outboard motor and poof, we headed back for the beach. Now, well, we're barely here saying a word to each other. Don't get me wrong, we were drinking a whole lot of water, rehydrating, and we were about 25 metres from the shore when the outboard motor packed in. We just ran out of fuel. And again, our heart sank. So without even thinking, one by one, we just dived out the boat and started swimming for the shore. Again, the Aussie guy, very, very strong swimmer. He made it to the shoreline first. The Kiwi guy, the Maori guy, he made it to the shoreline second. I, again, made it third. And as we turned around looking for the German guy, unfortunately, he was just a little bit slower than us, but he made it to the beach. We all kind of whipped off our snorkels, we took off our fins. We had, although initially planned to go for a beer, but none of us were able to, we pretty much collapsed on piles on this beach with adrenaline come down. But we all made it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, we wanted to hear and see blood and guts and want to hear that someone got eaten alive and all that sort of thing. Well, no, it never happened. It didn't happen. The point I'm trying to make in this story is that was a really, really emotionally charged, powerful experience in my life. One that I will never forget. I can barely even remember the guy's names. Can't even remember what they look like. Don't have, this was before the times of Facebook and the social medias, so we weren't doing selfies or any of that sort of thing. But the principle that I learned that day has really stayed with me and I know will stay with me for the rest of my life. I will not worry about controlling what I'm unable to control. You see, all that I'm ever able to be in 100% control of at any given point or time in my life is how I choose to either react or respond to the situations or circumstances that I find myself in. You see, what I have no control over is how other people choose to act towards me, how they behave towards me, how they speak at me, what they think about me. I have no control over these things. Yes, I can influence, absolutely, but ultimately I don't have the final say. I have no control. In the same way that I have no control whether that shark picked me up and ate me for lunch or whether he didn't. I guess I needed something more that day. If that was my introduction to faith, then that was my introduction to faith. Not in a weird and religious way, but in a very, very practical way. Very, very practical way. You know, I am not in control of anything outside of me whatsoever. I'm not even in control of whether my hair stays in, whether it falls out, whether it goes, whether it stays black, whether it goes white. I'm not in control whether a plane falls out the sky and lands on my head. But you see, I'm halfway through. We're halfway through this course now, and as I was recording this, I was in faith that I was going to complete it. This is ultimately what I've what I've gone for. So if you get to the end of this course and I have completed it, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is actually quite a reasonably good course. Well, you know, my faith served me. The point being is that just worry and focus on controlling the things that you can control, which is ultimately how you respond to the circumstances and situations that you find yourself in. Outside of that, the economy, your looks, the weather, whether that plane stays in the sky or falls out of the sky and lands on your head, you have no control over these things. So why worry? Build your confidence and base your confidence on the things that you have control over, not the things that you don't. I'll see you in the next video.